Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Though you see no water for miles around you, you are, like me, nonetheless marooned. We are castaways in this terrible bear dream somebody decided to name Barovia. To switch up the metaphor, we are imprisoned, and the fog is the bars of our cell, and our jailer is Baron von Strahd. As far as I can tell, there's no way to escape, other than possibly by dying. Maybe by being eaten by a wolf, let's say.
They laid a trap. Two grappling hooks fire out from the tree line.
Great news.
One of them misses you entirely. The other one wraps around your torso and goes taut. Immediately.
I don't resist, Adam.
You get reeled in, and the one that grabbed you grabs and grapples you. Yep. The two of you fall down along the tree, and more come out from other angles. They start kind of tying you up, basically.
They're not attacking. Basically.
Yeah, no.
And they're not injuring me. They're just...
take you alive.
Okay.
Well, you're not going to be able to fight. 1,000
Well, I don't know where they're going. That's the issue. Even though if I fought back and they seem to be dog-headed in terms of a goal.
Yeah.
But they also didn't seem to be that strong. Like, you know, one. Like,
yeah, that's true. This was the weaker model, Adam was saying.
So, again, if I don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
And then how do I get out of,
How do you get out of...
Like, where are they... If they're taking there to Batochi's realm...
Boboko.
Yeah.
Hoboken or whatever.
Sorry, Adam. I think I need to know their name now. It's become more...
Madam Chotchki.
Oh, wait. I think I've got it.
Borka?
No.
Borka is the town. I mean, the realm.
Is it?
Or is Borka the woman?
Borka is the realm?
Yes. Borka's... Can I get a good boy card for remembering?
No. No, you do not get a good boy card for remembering a name that you should know.
Borka is the realm, you said?
Borka.
B-O-R-C-A.
B-O-R-C-A.
Borka, that's the realm, and it's not Madame Borka, or it is Madame Borka?
It's Ivana Boritsky.
Ivana Boritsky.
Ivana...
Boritsy, sorry, I think.
Boritsy.
I don't think there's a K in there. B-O-R-I-T-S-I.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know how to leave Barovia. That's, if you've noticed this, a problem we have faced.
Yeah.
Up until, I guess, for yourself, Pip.
Well,
until this very moment. We can't leave these mists.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to get... Clearly, they can come and go.
Yeah.
Clearly, at a certain point, it maybe is weaker.
Mm.
I'm not clever enough, both my character and me, to figure that out.
Yeah.
So... Clearly, they have a way of going either through this mechanical guy that whatever would killed elf and killed human and tried to kill elf. That was potentially coming through the different.
It's crazy you're leaving Barovia. it's crazy going.
I just gotta.
You say you'll come back, but how do we know? God damn it, dude!
I just don't want to abandon. Gretchen.
Yeah. It is funny that I also have the opportunity to go. Like, it's just like a very funny...
Imagine bumping into each other in Borka.
That's so funny that I have the potential to leave.
Yes, I've come here to rescue a young knight that was in my care. Why are you here?
I'm here also.
I had heard that you would come here, and I came to help.
Oh, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Thank you, Pip. You have no idea how nice it is to see a friendly face.
I'll always come back, and I'll never run away. That's Pip Mandarin.
I always suspected you've grown, Pip, as a...
Yeah.
It's nice to have that confirmed.
Confirmed, absolutely. What's the problem now?
You're my best friend.
My best friend, too. Yeah.
Follow you into the...
Gates of Hell, apparently.
Yeah. Right, so...
Just give me 5 minutes. I just need to go and be by myself. And...
There are druids here.
This realm got druids we can help?
They got druids in here?
just muttering, what the fuck?
What I thought that was fucking that hell. God fucking damn it. This is not what I wanted.
Why can't I leave this man? He's always around. He's
not even Barovia. It's this man.
Am I trapped? Yeah. I'd say, am I trapped in the Shadowfell or am I trapped?
Trapped with this guy. Okay. That's fine.
God damn it. I tried to quit you, but I just can't.
I just can't quit you.
Apparently.
Hector,
you
are bound tightly with your arms and hands wrapped behind your back.
Cool.
You're hogtied, basically.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, I'll try to de-summon my weapon, basically, so that it's not on.
Smart.
Okay.
Maybe it's less de-summoning and more it leaves your grasp and you feel it disappear as that happens.
Yeah.
You are hogtied.
Yeah.
You feel yourself being lowered possibly to the ground, but you're unsure. By the time that you get low enough that you could be near the ground, you are also blindfolded and gagged.
Okay. Another question, curiosity. Just won't really change anything. These creatures, are they like sapient, sentient, or do I just think they're just automatons? Basically, I'm like, right now, I just think they're like little automatons that are just kind of like focusing on one goal. They don't really know what really is kind of happening. So I don't think I need to put up a struggle. But, like, at the same time, I'm like, wait a second. Do I need to pretend at least? Like,
I've been captured so that they don't think he's done it on purpose, basically. Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not saying anything.
I don't see them as sentient.
Same.
Personally.
I'm just like, okay. And just.
My only concern is that maybe Madame Boritze could be looking through their eyes.
Yeah.
So you might need to convince them, but that wasn't
that
her.
Was another like potential because they did have those weird eyes, right?
Doop, 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 doop. Yeah.
So yeah, putting on like a little bit of a show of like
you cads, you've captured me.
Oh no, how dare you?
You do as good a job as you know how.
Perfectly. Can I also be just observing them as much as possible.
Okay. So while you're doing that, it's a little bit, other than like the muffled noises of the creatures scuttling through the trees, it's almost like being in a deprivation tank. Ah. You are not, everything feels like muted and distant.
Okay. Well,
that is a function of being gagged and blindfolded.
Yeah. Exactly. Right, right.
There's no magic.
I'm blinded as well?
Yeah, they blind you.
Yeah, damn, you gotta just focus on your ears, dude.
I was hoping not to be blinded.
Yeah.
Left at that tree, right at that tree.
Yeah.
You trying to remember your way back?
No, I'm just trying to observe these, like, again. Like,
no,
I,
you're blind.
Kind of wanted to, yeah. Well, that's annoying.
You can try and work it off.
Yeah, could I try and, like,
Using your eyebrows up and down?
Using my face muscles.
Yeah.
You can shift it a little bit, but as you shift it, you feel hands push it back into place.
Yeah, crafty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cold, dead, lifeless but animated hands pushing it back into place.
I didn't realize I was going to be completely cut off from every sense. Doing this, I'll try to maybe utter a prayer, silent prayer, I guess, now, to Gulliver to protect Gretchen on her travels.
Like I said, it's about an hour, but it feels kind of like an eternity for you. These creatures, they're not cruel, but they're not, like, I wouldn't describe them as manhandling you, but they're not being delicate
either. They're not designed for comfort.
Yeah,
they're not trying to keep you comfortable, but they are trying to keep you safe. Like, they don't want anything broken, but they don't care about being bruised, maybe.
Okay.
You feel yourself at one point being thrown, and then you land in a pile. Or not in a pile, but you land on the ground. Then you feel as something lands next to you, something big. And you can hear of another person, presumably Gretchen.
It's like, is it a female voice?
Hard to tell through a gag. It's not hard to assume.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The big thud. I think that is the lifeless body of, say, a human, or is that that's where the muffled sound is coming from, Gretchen?
Yeah, it's the muffled sound.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
The second thing that you notice after. Presumably, Gretchen, next to you could feel that you're not on cold, hard dirt. It's actually a flat, even surface that you've been thrown onto, and it feels soft, almost.
Okay.
As you shift a little bit, you can feel fur underneath you. You think you might be on a rug of some sort.
Okay.
The next thing that you notice is that you can feel warmth. You are inside, and there is a fire.
Okay. Can I try and you using my face and the floor, try to like push off the eye mask, the eye gag. What do you call this? Blindfold.
Yeah, it's it is the traditional name for what's on your head. You get the blindfold off as, I'm going to say it's not hard because someone is helping you, actually. You feel as the blindfold and the gag for you and Gretchen come out. Gretchen, she coughs up a bunch of spittle. Quite clearly, you can see that she had been struggling probably the entire way. And so she's bound a lot tighter and the gag was a lot heavier on her. She spits up a bunch of like saliva and
phlegm.
Phlegm, yeah.
Gross.
Okay. All right.
You can see.
My gag also being taken
out? Yeah, it's also like, being taken out. You can see that it is being taken out by entities that look similar to elf and human.
Right.
You can see it's several creatures. It's a bunch of these Frankenstein monster creatures. Immediately, you could spot a clear delineation. Some of them are quite clearly designed for size and strength.
Uh-huh.
You can see some of them, there's like two like bodyguard-esque looking ones that look like they have human, they're human plus.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Not just the biggest limbs selected, but also you feel like, you get the impression that some extra stuff got stuffed in to make it bigger and more intimidating, possibly stronger as well.
Okay.
And then there are slight, more slender ones, more like elf specifically, who look specifically more like servants. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones ungagging and unblindfolding, but not untying you and Gretchen.
I figured as much. Noticing Gretchen less like choking, basically, and having been struggling, it's that is probably a lesson you need to learn is when to conserve your strength.
Speaking of conserving your strength, Gretchen actually looks puffed, like... The struggle the entire way has one level of exhausted her. She did not stop struggling the entire way. You can see you're inside a building.
Mm-hmm.
The building looks, it's a very strange look. You would describe it, well, Joel Zammit might describe it as like nature punk.
Okay.
So trees and plants have been grown into shapes and forms.
Okay.
So the walls of this building are made out of a shrub with a coating of vine and leaf over them. The shrub behind, though, has been packed so tightly, has grown so neatly together that it forms effective walls. You can see in the center, there's one large tree, which it has grown up and then its leaves and branches stretch out similar to the to the shrub, have stretched out in such a way where they make a solid ceiling. And then at about table height, there are smaller branches which extend out and end in such thick leaves that items can and have been placed on them. It looks like around this tree is some sort of workshop of sorts.
Okay.
There's three doors, one set of double doors. All of these doors are made out of, once again, they're made out of that shrub. And you can see that there's bits and pieces sticking out that look like they have a mechanical nature to them. These are doors made out of shrub lock. And it is all shrub.
Okay, cool. Initially, I was thinking it was like vines interwoven into like mechanical gears, but it is everything is mechanical.
Yeah.
Everything is nature, which is kind of like, I'm surmising, and maybe, I don't know if Hector might know this, but it's like, this is a very almost like, Elven, in terms of like...
You would describe it as elven, yeah.
Like how elvens will make a boat, which is like all of like one bit of wood or whatever it is. Like a very elvish
It's elven architecture.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, constructing everything, but like to a degree that I've probably not witnessed.
No, elves, when elven architecture tries to marry into the local landscape, this looks like it has been beaten down and forced to look like a standard building.
Okay, like, as in like if an elf architect really loved city aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
Okay, looking around.
Oh, yeah, sorry, there are two other doorways.
All right.
One doorway does not have a door to it, and you see a hallway. Further on, it's made in the exact same manner. That hallway stretches out to a set of stairs which go up. The other doorway has a door which is slightly ajar. You can see a light spilling in, and you can hear a heavy ticking sound from that room. There is additional features in this room. Is a hearth. The hearth, once again, made out of these brambles, bushes, and shrubbery. It is so tightly compacted that the fire within cannot burn the surrounding architecture. It is a fire sitting in a bush, basically, but the bush is, you know how you can't just start a fire with like a log? It's essentially that.
Okay.
There are, two huge bruiser-looking guys and then a smattering of smaller service staff who move around doing whatever that they're doing. You can see some of them are cleaning. You can see some of them appear to have jobs in other rooms and are just passing through this space.
Turning to Gretchen, I understand this is very ironic coming from a man who is also bound up, but learn to pick your battles.
It's a hilarious thing for Hacton to say. Oh my God.
Gretchen, you can see, is quite clearly having a panic attack.
Yeah.
You are unable to calm her down.
Oh. I was like, are you okay?
You can see Gretchen is, she's gone nonverbal.
All right.
She can't say anything, but her eyes are darting around.
Okay. Boy, Hector's here again.
Yeah.
Can I just
be in this place?
To be like seeing them, like, okay, she is not taking this in her stride at all.
This is very similar to,
experiencing stuff with Iris, experiencing stuff that I've seen, Iona and how, like, she's been handling, people who have been through some traumatic events, and Hector himself being through traumatic events, being just like, okay, I need to focus on my, like, just basically focus on my voice. Focus on my breath, focus on your breath, and just do that the box breathing of like five in, five hold, five out, in. And just take as much time as I can, because like everything else right now, it's clearly not a threat in a weird way.
They're not outright attacking you,
It's just like, once again, I feel Hector is understanding that, hey, if something is not outright trying to kill me, this is a net positive.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right. I don't have to worry about this right now.
You are able to, you get Gretchen to focus on you for a moment. You perform a breathing exercise with her, which seems to calm her down. She's not saying anything still, but she quite clearly, you can see that she's a bit tired. Mm-hmm. She's quite dizzy from not breathing properly for during that panic attack. You can see that she needs some time to readjust. While that happens, the door that's slightly ajar, a gust of air blows it open, and then a gust of air blows it closed.
All right. Okay.
You see as air makes its way over to that hearth and then is still, and you lose track of it.
I just go, and I just turn my head to it. Is it possible for us to get some sort of bedding or a pillow, and if you could perhaps untie, I gesture to Gretchen. She's not going to try to fight back. She just needs, not be tied up.
There's no response.
I guess the problem with AR is you don't know if he's still here.
Yeah. I then
empty hearth.
Wait a moment. Look to one of the maids.
Like, there's no response.
Well, to the elf, or like the person looks like elf, or the person is like, can we please?
None of the service staff react to you at all.
Can I stand up?
No, you're still bound. Hogtied.
Hogtied.
You can see and speak, but that's it.
Yeah. Right.
Can I, what happens if I just like move around and try to like get loosen anything?
You see one of the big bruises, you hear crack, 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 crack as it tightens a fist.
Right. Okay. We're not going to attack. Leader, speak. Somebody. Anybody.
You hear a voice from the hearth. They will act as they have been commanded.
Right.
And if you try to free yourself, they will slay you.
Right. Can we... I'm not trying to free myself, but clearly my companion here is extremely uncomfortable. Could you please untie her hands? No one is going to attack. We're here. You've caught us. Well done. We're not going to run. What can we do?
I could unbind her hands. fear one of the bruisers may snap her neck for it.
You've no...
They are not the sort that you bargain.
You have no control over them?
No.
And what is their parameters? If we're loose, we're untied?
They are to keep you here. Bound, perhaps. I know not their specific orders.
Could you perhaps bind us in a less egregious way?
I could. I know not whether the bruisers will slay you for it.
Well, try it on me first, and we'll see what happens.
Why?
Because she is uncomfortable.
What would I stand to gain?
What do you want?
There's a silent moment, and then the wind speaks. You cannot help me.
You do not know?
There's another silent moment. What do you know of magic?
I know enough. What do you want to know?
The creature, the entity by the hearth, speaks to you and says, I know not the magics used to summon me. Do you know the magics to connect the planes, to bind an elemental to one's will? Hector, you do not.
Does seem fairly outside your wheelhouse, that is, extraplanar magic.
That is not something you have ever been.
I don't think we know anyone that knows.
We do.
Keening? Maybe?
A Gogash.
Oh, a Gogash, that's true. Yeah, but he's a vampire.
Yeah. Keening might know, though. Yeah. And a Gogash, potentially. Yeah,
Keening's a planar traveler.
They're both planar travelers.
Personally, no. I don't know what binds an elemental to a particular plane, but I know people that would. I think I can think of a couple of people that would. Perhaps three.
You feel as the wind buffets you for a moment, and you feel it's a strange sensation, like air is grabbing your chin and tilting it upwards.
Maybe four.
I have heard this promise many times.
Yeah.
I cannot save you, but I know one who can.
Uh-huh. And those promises...
You cannot help me!
Do they come with an oath of a...
You can't hear yourself speaking.
I'm screaming back to, like, you know, it's like these promises. Do they come with an oath, with a binding oath?
The air stops. You hear one last whisper. I see more than the material. Your soul belongs to so many. Would you promise it to me as well?
Maybe not my soul, but I can at least promise you my word.
The wind moves back to the hearth and is silent. She comes. You hear footsteps coming down the stairwell. A woman, flanked by two more of those bruiser things, reaches the bottom. If you'd like to...
Whoa, she's cool.
Okay.
Cunty as fuck.
Yeah.
Long sort of black dress, pale face.
Basically like stepping out of Adam's Family.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, she's Morticia Gomez coded.
Morticia Gomez in high school coded?
Yes.
Or maybe like college, I'm not sure.
Very Morticia. Yeah, like Wednesday grown up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And deeply evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She reaches the bottom of the stairs and she walks towards you. You can see as she walks that she has in one hand a book that she's casually flipping through. The book looks like you can see this, it's heavily dog-eared. It's got other pieces of paper slipped into it. It's quite clearly a journal or notebook of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
When she gets into the room, she stops, looks around, and you can see her eyes briefly rest on the hearth. Where that entity is, and then come back to you.
Mm.
What are you?
I am an Azmir.
Untie him. She gestures, and then...
Untie her first.
Ivana gestures. Ivana does a second gesture at your response, and you are both simultaneously untied. Gretchen, as she becomes free, she kind of forces herself... She gets freed a little bit and then forces herself the rest of the way free and then shoves
Can I put like a hand on Gretchen? Like just to like, don't. don't, like, hey, we can't do that now. We can't be aggressive right now. We will die.
Yeah. Gretchen,
like,
you try to put a hand on Gretchen. She grabs your hand, wrenches it free, and then you see she means to do something. And then Ivana brings her hand up to her mouth and blows onto her palm. A puff of something pink flies from Ivana, bathes Gretchen's face. Gretchen stumbles backwards, hits the wall, slides down, and
can I catch her? Like, before, like, sure. Again, if she's stumbling, I'm like, again, everything in my power. No, hang on.
Gretchen as she kind of becomes limp in your hands. What have you done? What have you done? Gretchen looks at Ivana.
I'll be saying the same thing. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing to her?
She is merely restrained chemically. Right. It is a passing thing, giving her time to relax.
I want to, like, just wheel in, ignoring everything else, instead, like, focusing in on Gretchen. Like, I understand everything that has happened to you right now. But right now, you are a knight. You're a knight of Galava. He protects the travelers. We are travelers to a foreign land when we need to remain calm.
Ivana reaches into that tree, and I mean into her hand, like it's like the tree was actually a waterfall. Mm. It parts as her hand reaches into the tree. She wraps around something and pulls a lever out of the tree. You hear some mechanical device underneath you spews forth two seats made out of tree from below you near where the hearth is. Mm-hmm. Ivana gestures to Gretchen and says, you may put her within one of the seats.
Yes, thank you. So please, Gretchen, I need you to pick your battles, please. I'm going to do my best to get you out of here. Please.
Gretchen's still kind of panicking.
Just pleading with this, like, please, please.
Gretchen, well, she can't go limp because she's already limp.
Yeah.
But you can see Gretchen is not going to do anything further. She goes quiet and still. Well, once again, she was already still, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, again, I'll do my best to not let anything harm you.
Please put her down.
Yes, okay. Just give me a moment, right? I pick her up and put her in the chair, and then I sit down myself.
No, Ivana says, stand. She steps.
Would you prefer I kneel then? Is that what to do?
No, stand. She reaches in to a different part of the tree and produces two glasses of wine. Disrobe, she says.
Disrobe.
What?
Take off your clothes.
Okay.
She hands you one glass of wine and then stands back and watches as you disrobe.
Why would you give me the wine first?
I got to put down the wine now.
Basically, there's like two little side tables come up with the chairs that you can put the wine.
On. Well, okay, like, I'm thinking, like, what do you want me to? Yeah. I'm now got holding two things. In a moment of confusion, because it's like I'm being thrown several different ways, I put down the glass of wine. I'll take a sip first. Take a gulp first.
It's delicious.
Take two gulps first.
It's the sweetest, tastiest thing you have had since you've come to this land.
Sweet, you say?
Oh yeah, it's sweet. Very sweet.
I take a bigger gulp. I put it down. That's very nice wine. That's actually really nice wine, actually. Sorry,
Ivana looks at you with the expression of someone who's very accustomed to when she gives an order, it happens. She looks impatient.
Sorry.
But she says nothing. She's just looking at you.
I put the glass down as I am taking my, I guess, shirt off. It's like, do you have the grapes? Where were they from? What kind of wine is it?
It is a homebrew, she says.
So you have your own grapes. Huh? I take off my top. Do you want me to keep going?
She reaches out. With that glass of wine, which she's taken maybe a sip from, she reaches towards the tree and automatically, a little platform comes out of the tree, which you hear like a mechanical device is doing this. And part of the tree slips out as a little table, which she sets the wine down on. From the workshop at the base of the tree or near the, further down on the tree, she takes measuring tape and she hands that little journal to one of the maids and walks over to you with the measuring tape.
All right. Do you need me?
Arms outstretched.
I gesture to my boots and everything. Like,
in time, she says, shirt will be fine for now.
I just put my hands out straight.
With measuring tape and then eventually calipers, she begins taking measurements of your body, which she dictates as that is being written down in the journal.
All right. Cool. I'm going to be
as
cut
she's
up
doing
the
that
parts.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I was like, man, Hector's going to get a cool new suit.
No. You've never been wrong.
As she's doing
Hector
that,
didn't have that thought, dude.
As she's doing that, she asks you questions about your body. Do you find soreness in the morning?
Sometimes. Depending
where,
on the morning.
She says. She takes a step back. Show me.
Where has Hector been recently hit?
I imagine surely your whole malnutrition combined with spending every waking second at full anxiety.
Full anxiety. The way you said that it had the same cadence as For Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah.
Full anxiety.
I guess lack of nutrition, the fact that wounds are taking so like the heel, and I'm still winded from the gut punch.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, it depends on the day, depends on the morning. I do have god blood going through my veins,
that
though,
is
which is why
true.
I'm like, I don't know, do Azamir,
do you get a sore back?
That's what I'd like, what does the magical blood do to an adventurer?
How or old are you, she says?
26.
How old does your kind live to be?
A little bit longer than humans, but not as long as elves, about 100, 160, roughly.
Would you be considered an adolescent, a young adult, or a full adult at your age, for your kind?
I guess it's more, isn't it based on societally, I think I'm an adult.
She stops and nods. She says, you are right. There are cultural considerations. She turns around and taps the journal that that maid is writing in. Write that down.
I come from human parents. Azmir. It's you've never met an Azmir before?
An Azmir. She turns around and taps the journal again. Write that down. No, how do you spell it?
It's double A-S-I-M-A-R. We carry... there is like... have you met a tiefling before?
She gives you a side look. For the first time, rather than... Not a haughty, but like an in-control expression, you've said a word that she doesn't know.
Okay.
Teethling.
Teef, yes, T-I-E-F, teef.
She turns around, make a note.
It is similar, but different. Anyway, somewhere along my family line, we were...
While you're saying this, she continues to... At this point now, she is taking your pants off.
Okay.
Fucking get your shit together, Hector. Jesus,
he would
Christ.
He would
loves
never.
A strong and frightening
out.
Woman. That's,
he does. He just
control
does.
Yourself.
He's doing his best.
Fucking hell, Hector.
Yes, we. There's somewhere in my bloodline. There was a celestial heritage, if you will. That's why my skin is purple, and I have. No pupils.
A beautiful color, she says. But not like a compliment.
Right. I was about to blush, but then I realized it wasn't. Yeah. So then he's like, thank you.
Not a compliment. More like she's, selecting.
It's an assessment.
Yeah.
With the air of someone picking a color of drapes.
So we were, if there's somewhere along the line, there is a celestial. Ancestry there. For
what
chief,
realm are you from?
I am.
Where do you call home?
Ognot.
She looks up at you. There's recognition at Ognot. She says. She turns to one of the maids and she says, "Fetch the dragon." The maid turns and moves.
The dragon, like dragonborn. You surely.
It is not a full dragon. There's a hint of humor in how she says that, like mockingly.
Is it gold? It's not Pipia?
You try to say that, but she shushes you. And at this point, she opens your mouth and starts sticking her fingers and tools into your mouth.
I gag a little?
You would have to... you would very probably be gagging at certain points. She's not gentle.
I'll give a boy a warning next time.
She's measuring teeth.
Buy a fella a drink.
What?
You hear at one point, she like full-on puts her fingers in your mouth and she counts your teeth.
Hello.
1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 68, 67.
They're all still there.
She continues to take these measurements. And are you really resisting much? She's not hurting you. She's just, it's like a rough housing.
Yeah.
She's not gentle with you, but she's not hurting you.
No. I can't really do much. Like,
yeah,
I know that
back. Yeah.
They are more powerful than I. Yeah. And they've got the bruises around. Mm. I am very much like, I'm really here to either bargain to get Gretchen out or something right now. So I kind of just got to cop this.
You were found with Rahadin. Do you work for Strahd?
No, I was just invited for a dinner.
I can see why. You are very interesting.
She grabs your cheek and turns your head to the side.
Well, thank you.
Very interesting indeed.
She turns your head the other way. You hear the maid returning with... You hear a second set of footsteps, but they're very light. And then stepping into the room is that maid who was sent away to fetch the quote-unquote dragon.
Yep.
And in addition, a kobold.
Right. Yes, right.
The kobold has, you would describe it at best as a very haughty expression. Like, they quite clearly are very pleased with themselves. They look almost regal. As they enter, the kobold wanders over to the table and you can see does like a, with a finger, very elaborate, dragging it along the counter of the table, checking for dust. And upon finding none, the kobold sits on the table, cross-legged.
Bones above.
You see the kobold, do you say bones above?
Yeah, when they did the dust thing and had a look.
You can see the kobold reaches into underneath her tunic and produces a little symbol, a little medallion of Gregory Bones, which she starts playing with.
Where did you hear that name?
It is one of the minor gods from where we're both from.
Ognot?
Yes, I've a companion of mine. He was raised in, I guess, a Gregory Bones orphanage.
There's a flash of very keen interest in the kobold's face, in her eyes in particular.
What is his name?
He's the great General Pip Mandarin.
You can see, like, a lot of expressions cross the kobold's face very quickly. And then... she tucks the medallion back underneath her tunic.
He is alive?
Yes. Last time I saw him, yes.
When was the last time you saw him? Where?
In Barovia, in Kuchery. So about a few days ago, maybe 2 or 3.
The kobold hops off the table. Once again, a lot of expressions cross over the kobold's face, and you can see her eyes dart to those double doors and then to Ivana. Ivana looks back and you can see there's some silent conversation happens between the two of them. Ivana seems very pleased and you can see the kobold gets very upset.
Okay, this is like politics that I am not aware of.
Yeah. It's got nothing to do with you.
No.
Truly.
The kobold touches her chest, but this time you don't feel like they're touching a medallion. Yep. You feel like they're touching something else.
Guessing you were from the same orphanage or the same...
Yes, I am Pip's.
She looks at you, sister.
Oh, he has a sister.
I am Pep Mandarin.
I've definitely heard of Pop, his brother, and I guess Hank, but
takes a deep breath in and out at the mention of Hank.
I didn't realize he had a sister. Well...
He did not speak of me.
Pep looks at you and you realize you've triggered something.
I'm trying to rack my brain of the things that Pip has said about his family and his orphanage, or his time at the orphanage. Yeah. I know that he's definitely mentioned that he has like siblings, as it were. Mm-hmm. He's definitely mentioned Pop a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have mentioned.
I don't know if I've mentioned Pep by name. And every time Pip's mentioned anything about the orphanage, it's always said with such a dismissive tone.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, like.
Not really. We didn't really. We haven't really mentioned. We didn't talk a lot about family. Just time spent at the orphanage maybe has come up a couple of times. It is mostly trying to survive, now that I think about it. He's doing well. He's a very capable monster hunter.
Pip spoke only of his time?
I mean, from his perspective, I suppose. Yeah.
Of course.
In passing.
Shut the fuck up, Pep.
I'm like, what does she mean?
Does
like,
she
he
mean?
Could only really talk about her.
Yeah, I'm not like, talking about you, Pep.
He could only talk about his experience
exactly.
there. He doesn't know your... I mean, him and his siblings, I'm not sure I follow. Again, he didn't seem very... He's mostly talked about when he left with Hardcastle.
Pep does another deep breath in at the mention of Hardcastle. Pep starts looking around the room.
I'm just like, man, anywhere I go, everyone seems to be really mad at that dragonborn.
Yeah, dude.
He hitched my wagon to the wrong guy.
She walks over and starts checking surfaces, dragging a finger along them. Mm-hmm. She keeps finding no dust, and every time she finds no dust, you see that she gets a bit madder.
Do you still practice?
Ivana is watching all of this with delight. Pep is quite clearly getting more and more frustrated and upset, and something is like bouncing around her mind. You can see she starts like muttering to herself a little bit. She muttering like, "Pep would not mention me. I'm here for him."
Dust
must Pep, clean.
He doesn't really talk a lot about his life. I'll be honest, he's a very guarded man.
Pep has done kind of a full loop of this room. She gets back to you, and you still not well. You're in your breeches,
yeah.
basically. And you get the impression that you are only in your breeches for now. You highly doubt Ivana is finished checking your measurements.
Well,
goodness me.
Goodness gracious.
Pep gets to you, stops. She, for the... the second person begins assaulting your body as Pep, digging claws in, climbs up to climb over you a bit. She whispers into your ear, "Dirty." She
Hector's
produced...
eyes just widen a little bit. Like,
don't sleep with my sister. That would be a crazy revelation.
She begins scrubbing you. It's been a minute since you've had a bath, Hector.
Yeah,
I'm
like
you got a bit of BO about
that's
you.
That's fair. This is a very intimate moment. Yeah. Hector doesn't know what to think right now.
Clean.
Still practice the faith.
As she cleans, you can hear her muttering a prayer to Gregory Bones. The prayer is a list of instructions on how to wash.
Right.
How to properly clean yourself. The prayer includes singing happy birthday twice.
I always liked imagining that some of the prayers of Gregory Bones were like letters he'd written in thank you to people that had visited him.
Okay. What a fun, interesting time I'm having. That's very confusing.
Yeah, what is going on? Hector, you know, you're getting cleaned, but also surely you're like, am I about to be dissected after
this?
Oh,
yeah. How did you... So you said you're here for him? He's been missing...
Pep finishes cleaning you, clambers down. You can see this entire time Ivana has been dividing her attention. Actually... Okay. While While Pep cleans you, Ivana divides her attention between her notes. She, while you're being washed, Ivana appears to be pretty... Pep is fucking losing her shit, and Ivana seems to be enjoying it and has stopped what she's doing so that Pep can have her freak out. Okay. Ivana is at the workstation doing something. You don't know. She's taking little pieces of, like, nature and working them into gears, assembling a little device. She divides her attention between working on that and then glancing over at the two of you. Pep, at one point, when Pep's like kind of half got her legs wrapped around your hips and her hands are scrubbing your neck and behind your ears, Pep hisses quietly in between the prayer, hisses quietly into your ear, is the wind here?
I while they've like been doing like a prayer, I've been like kind of almost. I wanted to kind of like almost recite something that you know Pip has done in terms of like a prayer, or like making a tea kind of stuff like that. To be like, and I was almost wondering the exact same thing of like try to sneak something in there and go of like, what is she about to do to me? Was my main question. But is the wind here? Yes.
Where is it? Moving to your other ear.
Yeah, and again, in
giving you the most terrifying ASMR experience you've ever had.
Yep. Okay, yeah. I guess trying to match their, you know, with the prayer and everything and being like, this is the thing we've learned in, like, you know, by the hearth. that kind of, like, talking in code to them. And
you see Pep clambers around so that you're face-to-face now rather than her wrapped around your back. And you see her eyes dart towards the hearth, making some mental calculations. Pep hisses once again in your ear, I'm trapped. I cannot leave.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Can I ask what is she going to do to me?
I'm not sure. She's either fitting you for a body bag, or she plans on doing the same to you as she did to me.
What did she do to you?
She will stab a device into your heart. On her command, it will release a poison into your veins, killing you instantly.
Doesn't sound great.
You will be her servant. That, or taking you apart for bits.
I want to do a quick once-over of Pep. They've got stitches?
No stitches that you can see.
That's good. That's good to know. Okay.
I can help you escape, but not now.
Right. That's fine. Help
us. In exchange, you must take this message to my brother, Pip.
Of course. Of course.
I need him to save me. And also, tell him to fucking talk about someone other than himself sometimes! That part, Ivana looks over and definitely hears, because Pep definitely screams that last part. But Ivana seems to think it's just part of Pep being crazy.
Yeah. Just if it helps, he named a chicken that he hates Pop.
Pep.
Why would you say that?
Yeah. You feel Pep's claws dig into your flesh. You take a point of damage.
I mean, he didn't. He doesn't like the chicken.
How long do your temp hit points last?
I don't know.
Yeah, you lose one hit point.
Okay.
He named a chicken Pop.
Yeah, he hates the chicken. It's actually a cockatrice. It doesn't matter.
The man, Pep, lets go of you and starts pacing backwards and forwards, still checking surfaces she's absolutely checked before for dust. Mm. The man has four siblings!
Right. Well, he didn't... if it
pop, 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 pop! All he ever cares for!
Well, I wouldn't say cares is the right word.
Pep rounds on you. He named the chicken Pop. He named the chicken Pop. She starts slamming a table.
It seems very antagonistic relationship, at the very least. Like, he didn't really even talk about Hank. I mean, I've had a he's it doesn't matter.
Hank.
I just want to like
Hank,
just
pop,
hold
Hank,
like
Hank, pop.
Hold my arms a bit and just like I don't and then
what is happening? What is,
how do you get free from here? Start to trying to divert Do you know anything about planar magic?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
I tracked my brother. I found him here in the Shadowfell.
So you know a lot about planar magic, do you?
I was able to get myself here, was I not? And then I trapped myself.
You did trap you. But, just like the wind is trapped.
Why is she looking for me? That's what scares me.
Okay. The wind wanted information about planar magic. Have you spoken to it?
Sorry. Pep has disconnected from you. You can't have a hidden. Yeah, sorry. Okay. You can't have a hidden conversation anymore.
All right then.
Pep. Yeah. You could see Pep. Pep's very upset right now.
Evidently. Yeah. Okay. Right. So you are a planeswalker?
Yes. Yes.
I
walk the planes. I know the magics.
I kind of dart my eyes to the earth, being like, okay.
Must be clean. Must be clean.
Right. Yeah. And so now if you leave, I assume. Right. Okay. What else is happening right now?
You can see Ivana is putting the finishing touches on her, whatever she's making. You can see it looks a little bit like, what would you describe it? You describe it kind of like a dome that has roots attached to it.
Okay. And a dome that has roots. Okay. So how long have you been here, Pep?
A year and a day, a year and a month, who knows? Time moves strange in these places.
Yes, I see.
Searching for your brother!
I wouldn't, yes.
Pep's shrill.
That's very noble of you to search for him.
I'll claw his eyes out! Boop! Boop, 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 boop!
Getting a little bit less noble.
I shall have his stomach for supper!
That's not very, bonesy him?
She stops and she, like, acknowledges what you said.
Stomach for supper. Hands for dinner.
That's...
For tea. Lips.
It's like, that's better.
It's calmer, at least.
Right.
Pinkies up.
How was your time at the orphanage?
Wonderful.
I nod. It's good to hear.
I love my brothers, she says.
Yeah. Pip's not looking so bad now, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pip's not looking so bad. All right.
He's definitely not. He's definitely not.
The Mandarin siblings must stick together.
How much time has Pip spent running?
I don't say this because I know she will get angry, but like that's an odd mantra. That's a mantra I have not heard before.
The Mandarin but siblings love each other.
I go, yes, I suppose they do.